if you look at my calendar, I don't have anything booked past 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Nothing.
It's about average.
Right.
Yeah,
it's nothing booked. Yet I've been like that for the past 8 years. That's scary stuff. Welcome back to another episode of the iFilmmaker podcast. My name's Ariel Martinez. Big Magic Harry Mike is with us.
That's right. And I'm working my sexy like South Beach outfit today.
So now I'm the one dressing all black.
Yeah, we just...
And
swapped.
You just went the other way around.
Yeah,
huh?
Man, I'm having fun.
You didn't get the memo.
This is great, man. This is fun.
Have you been?
Good. Good. Been really good, yeah. I'm excited about today's topic because I have nothing to say towards it. I'm just kidding.
I think today's going to be a good episode.
Yeah.
So today we're going to assess. I've had, and I actually don't know. I don't know how often this comes up in your mind or in freelancers' mind in general of how their self-assessment in their business, in the industry, how do you assess that? Is there even, I personally don't think there's a right or wrong way to assess it, but there are maybe some indicators that might point in you in a different direction of maybe this is not for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to discuss some of those things.
I guess what I would speak to that is like, first off, like right off the bat, if you're losing full passion for what you're doing, like you're not excited about it at all.
But how do you assess that?
The lack of wanting to do it.
Are you saying that there are no, and I'm playing devil's advocate here. Are you saying that there have never been a job that you've never wanted, that you didn't want to do?
Yesterday, you should have talked to my wife about my job yesterday. I was pretty much moping around the house to leave and like milking every possible second. It got so bad, okay? And it's a retainer gig, so you don't feel.
I see.
You don't feel the immediate. You know, here's the reward, financial reward for what you're doing. I got so bad. I was exhausted from the previous shoot. It was like a 14-hour day, and so this one was like one of those shoots. And it's not even complicated. It's nothing. I had no reason for this, but I just wasn't in it that day.
Oh man.
And so I'm milking everything I could possibly do to just wait to the last second to close and gear and batteries, everything. And finally, I text even a friend of mine who was like, "Hey, if you ever need help with anything, you know, I'll come out for free." And I'm like, I'm thinking about that guy right now, and I'm like, I could really use that guy today. I text him, "Hey, bro, any chance, you know, you could swing by and, you know, whatever, help me out if you want, whatever." And I, you know, obviously, I'm nice about it, whatever you want. And he ends up texting me. He's like, "Yeah, I could be there maybe like 15 minutes after you start." And I'm like, "All right, cool. Any help I can get for teardown, I'm just not into it today." So this is a retainer gig and they have all the gear and it's even at the location. So all I got to do is move it from upstairs to downstairs. By the time I'm finished doing that with, what is it, like 5 Pelican cases, C-stands, everything by myself, no help, I'm sweating. I was already not into the shoot, right?
Oh, man.
So I'm like, okay, here we go. I'm start setting everything up. I even did a little post. "Hey, I'm here, you know, setting this up. It's so great."
Saw that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the main guy comes down. He's like, "Hey, change of plans. We're not going to do any of this. We're going to do the very simple shoot," which is fine because it's a simpler shoot, not more, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, man, I did all this by myself. My friend that I'd said that was going to come, he's still not there yet. And so I'm like, oh, just to make matters worse. So then I have to kind of just tear everything down, go set up in a different location. It's not a hard setup, but it's one of those things. Like it's work, it's production. It is what it is.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
When it's on a day where you're just like, it's a retainer job and you're just like, you know, it's just hard. And so I'm not saying that like that's the lack of passion. I think we're all allowed to have those days where it's like,
yeah.
But on a big shoot, you don't have the freedom to not want to work on big shoots where it's like, it's a lot on the table. I think you got to bring your A game every time. This is one of those shoots. It's very simple. So there's
this
not
is a wash, rinse, repeat type of deal.
Exactly. So there's room for a little bit of like, I don't want to go, but you still got to go. But yeah, I wouldn't say that's the lack of passion that I'm talking about. So I'm talking about if you're just finding zero passion in like learning, finding zero passion in looking for work or contacting people, or you're just starting to just hate your career choice, maybe it's time you look for something else.
So I would say I've done passion projects, right? I've done passion projects that even till this day gets me work in the sense that I'm able to showcase that to potential clients and they love it. And that's what they hire me off of, like that kind of stuff. So they want the same style. Mm. They want all that, you know?
That's great.
And I'm able to, and I'm super happy that I've been able to take that route. But I wouldn't even assess it by that. I would assess it because here, there's a couple of factors where people can consider if this is for them or not, right? Passion absolutely has to be a must, but it would showcase in how much you learn, right? The reason why passion matters is because it would showcase how much you learn. Then how much you learn showcases the quality that you're delivering because you're learning so much, mm-hmm. right? Till this day, I don't want this to come across as very high and mighty, but I'm not learning at the rate that I was learning back when I first started, mm-hmm. right? When I first started, everything was new to me. Mm-hmm. Everything. And so exciting. Everything I was observing, yeah. Everybody working, I was absorbing a lot of stuff, not at the rate that I do now. And mm-hmm. that's not because I lost passion. It's because I've already heard that and seen that before, yeah. you know? But anytime the opportunity comes where I learn something that I had not heard before, I started all over again, you know? So
it's great. Yeah.
That drives me. I'm like, oh my God, yes, I love this. So learning new techniques, all that stuff is I love that. So that is sort of what drives me. That's the passion that would drive you. Mm-hmm. Now there's the business side of things too, right? Mm-hmm. So passion, I would say is what's going to get you there, but it's not what's going to keep you there.
Doesn't sustain you.
Because you could be passionate about this, mm-hmm. but you really, there's going to be a certain point where you have to transition where like, so for example, there's people that go to film school, right? And they could be passionate about mm-hmm. like Chris. Chris is passionate about narratives, mm-hmm. right? He loves that stuff. But how many opportunities are out there for narrative to make a living off of doing that kind of stuff? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure that there are. Mm-hmm. But everybody wants to do that, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you start making the big bucks, what? When you get to Hollywood or whatever to make these really big movies. Until then, you have to do video production work. You have to do commercial work. There's companies that are paying for that stuff, mm-hmm. right?
You got to pay the bills, yeah.
So maybe I would say, you know, depending, there has to be some sort of year to income ratio mm-hmm. where a number of years should be reached, and I don't know what this number is, whether it's 2, 3, 4, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And if your income is still the same at year 5 that it was on year 1, maybe your practices are, mm-hmm. what are we looking at here, you know? Mm-hmm. Are you still pushing as hard as you were?
I think that the range really should always start out, what's your 5-year plan?
Right.
And that's in any business, like write out your 5-year plan. And if you're nowhere near, if you're still on like where you were in 1 on 5, something needs to change if you're going to stick with it. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like a parent where yeah. it's like your child is like just choosing to do the same thing that's hurting mm-hmm. them. It's like you want to say give up on it and go a different route that's more secure.
Sure.
But in this industry, I don't want to necessarily say that, but something has to shift. Something needs to change. And I think sometimes we get so trapped in our passion mm-hmm. or something that we aspire to be that we can't keep. So like, okay, I'll give you an example. So when I was a full-time video editor at a company and I decided to start my own business in something that has nothing to do with, literally nothing to do with this. And it was sales. Now, I thought I was pretty good in sales because I sold my wife on me. Hello. All right. So I got into sales and selling a product, you know, like a service, selling a service that I don't provide, which is the whole big thing. And I pushed it hard, to be honest. And I made some money, but it was very inconsistent. It got to the point where like my family and almost friends even got to the point where they're like, all right, how long are you going to keep riding this train that is not going to get you where you want according to the facts of what you've produced? Not because we don't believe in you or we don't think you're capable of, but let's take an inventory, you know, mm-hmm. inspect what you expect and take inventory of where you're at today and make quality decisions. And I feel like sometimes, and this sounds harsh, but remove yourself away from the passion of it or what mm-hmm, your goals are. Mm-hmm. Step outside as if you're someone else looking at your finances and where you're going and have a more broad view of what this is really like and take a reality check. And then go, okay, So if I'm still in year one from year five, either if I'm going to commit and choose mm-hmm. commit, something drastically needs to change. I need to invest in myself. I need to do the things I've never thought possible mm-hmm. and pretend it's like a video game and you're going to hit reset and you know it's okay to take the major risks and then just, you know, the reset's not there, but you've taken major risks. All you can do is win from that and then go forward from there. But something has to change. Either you quit and get a steady job. Or that's not, we're not, even though we're business owners, I'm not against a steady income, a steady job. It's for everybody. Being a business-minded person isn't for everyone. It could be for many people. But something, I think, for me, I agree with what you're saying, year five. Year five for me is every 5 years, take an evaluation. Where are you going? Where are you at? But what's in the books? Because sometimes mm-hmm. we don't want to admit the truth because mm-hmm. we don't want to look at the numbers.
Yeah, that's something that's extraordinarily important is your numbers, right? And I'll be honest, I've said this before in a podcast. When I started my business, I did not have a business mentality. I loved video. I did it for years for my church for a long time until one of my best friends said should do it for a business. Never had it occurred to me. I spoke to my pastor. He gave me the blessing and I ran with that, right? At the time, I was still living with my parents. So I didn't have much mm-hmm. expenses. Like I was able to be risky like that.
A little bit of a safety net.
Right. That was definitely a safety net. And it was, I was subject to whatever I knew, the connections that I had, which weren't much at all, you know? It was a friend of mine from church that knew somebody that had a business that was looking to edit these videos. And that was my first job ever, right? Nice. It was like 7 videos that I had to edit, each of them like 3 minutes long each. And it was a total of like $500 for the whole project, right? Mm. We take jobs like that all the time when we're starting. I'm starting.
Yeah.
So, but I always had, you know, business people at my church that I can always ask questions to, you know?
That's great.
And these are things that you have to do when you're starting a business and really with anything, you know, if there's people that are more skilled than you, humble yourself and go ask questions because yeah. So here's the thing, the advice that they gave me, not always did it pertain to me because sometimes my industry is very different, but it opens up different avenues or a train of thought that I did not think about before. Mm-hmm. Factors mm-hmm. and variables that I didn't even perceive before, you know? So that in that way, it helped out a lot. So anyways, it helped me grow tremendously, you know, and obviously it was in 2013. So it's 8 years now into that. And it's been great. I know a lot more now than what I did back then. Mm-hmm. There is a risk that comes with being a freelancer that not everybody can afford to have, right? My example, if you look at my calendar, I don't have anything booked past 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Nothing.
It's about average.
Right.
Yeah,
it's me too. Nothing booked. Yet I've been like that for the past 8 years.
See,
that's scary stuff.
Some people, my dad would look at that and want to commit suicide.
He'd
There's no security here.
That's like, not for
That's his reaction. No, I've told my dad, like, hey, this is what I've got. And I have nothing past 3 weeks. And honestly, I have no leads, have no nothing. But but the last 3 months has been like that. And it's been packed. I mean, by God's grace. You
right.
know? Yeah. But it's been packed. But he goes, Mike, how do you live like that? You have a 3-year-old. Yeah. You have a wife. You have a family. I'm like, well, first off, God's providing. And second, you know, I'm committed to this.
Yeah.
And I just have to trust that it's going to work out. But he's like, I could not function like that. He goes, I need consistency.
It's funny because it goes a lot into our faith, right? We walk by faith industry that we're in. A lot of people that are not Christians, they would call it something else, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But that's literally how we have to walk to keep our sanity.
Yeah.
Because people will go crazy if nothing comes up, you know?
It is a scary time though. I've had that happen. So my worst case scenario, this is, I don't know, year maybe 3 or uh-huh. 4, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
I had 1 month. I made $10,000 in a month. That's right. A lot. I mean, you're probably way past that, but hey, for me, I'm like, $10,000 in 1 month. That was, I think, the first time it happened to me. And I was like, holy grail. Like, I'm in the right place. This is it. Woo! Just book a vacation,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
The next month, I made $300.
Oh!
For the entire month.
Whoa. Okay.
So I think another topic in this discussion is budgeting.
Because we
can go through feast.
That's a hard lesson that everybody has to learn.
It's a really hard one.
I had to learn the hard way as well. I was like, maybe I should not have spent that money that I from that month that I had really good and went and bought a bunch of stuff. Because now I'm tight. I'm like, oh man.
Here's the problem in the corporate production or studio, like studio work,
yeah,
with working with clients or like products and stuff like
sure,
that.
Sure, sure.
Is that at the end of the year, like November, December, you're fully booked. And it's not for Christmas stuff. It's like for the next year, right?
Yeah.
Why? Because they have to spend the annual budget. Come January,
holy
February,
cow, all those
March,
payments coming
April,
in?
Bro, there's no work sometimes because the corporate clients are revamping what is their budget for the year. By the time they get to the studio, because I wasn't in charge, they weren't my clients. I was just part of the production.
Sure, sure.
By the time he gets to the studio landing a new creative project, it would be January, March, maybe April.
Yeah.
And it's like, so January, February, March, if that's your only niche, you gotta budget off of what you made in the last part of the year. And I experienced that for like 6 years straight. And I had to get used to that. So I had to be very careful on my Christmas budget. My wife was like, yeah, but we want this. We have, you know, you look at the bank account.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah.
That's very easy to do.
Let's do it. You know, we can. But I have to just remind her, hey, listen, you know, keep in mind, my income is fluid.
It fluctuates a lot. And that's something that you have to consider when buying stuff. That's something that I overlook all the time. I make so many impulsive purchases. It definitely gets me in trouble sometimes. But anyways, so like you said, knowing your numbers, looking at your books, right? If you're in year two or three, you should see an increase every single year, right? The good thing is that you're making clients, and those, I still have clients from year one that I work with, right?
That's great.
Every now and then, even if it's once a year, they still call me.
That's great.
Right? My prices are completely different, but they still call me. But
they've probably grown as well in all those years.
Oh, 100%. So, yeah. They've grown. Or check this out. One thing that happens to me is my smaller clients have referred me, and now those referrals have turned into some of my biggest clients.
Wow.
And that came from a small client, you know? You never know when that's going to come.
You know, here's a tip I would give for if you're in year one, two, and three, and you're seeing a slump. You know, a lot of network marketers do this, but it works really good in traditional business. Go to all of your friends and family and find out from them who are employed in different corporate companies. Get a list. Seriously, I'm not kidding. Make things happen for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Get a list out. Start writing. Sit down with them and be like, who do you think could possibly need a video? Who could possibly need some photography, some editing work? Who works at what places? Get a list and literally create a list of 40 people. You can do that. We all could do that. Even right now, we could do that right now if there's a slump. And even if there isn't. And I guarantee you, if you contact every single one of them and make them just aware that this is what you do and that you can provide something for their employer, you'd be surprised where it may not even be them.
Mm-hmm.
It's through that person who gives you a different referral. And there's just so many avenues.
And don't be afraid of free work, man.
Correct.
Yeah. Even today, I just finished a video for a buddy of mine. He wanted some video and he was seeing some prices and it was almost at his budget and whatnot. But I said, look, don't worry about it. Let me do this. But this was at the time where I had recently purchased the FX9 and some new lighting tubes and a bunch of new stuff.
Things you could test.
Right. So I'm like, hey, dude, let me do this. Let me make a video for you on me. No charge. I want to do this so that I can showcase my stuff. I want to take some nice behind the scenes stuff. I want to put this out as a test for all the new gear that I have.
Did you make kind of like a verbal agreement that you have some creative freedom? That maybe you wouldn't
have. I have all creative freedom.
Perfect. See, that's great. Like, it's do something for free. You're going to get all this stuff in return.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I had all creative freedom.
You know,
I'm not charging you a thing. You have no way to make any demands here.
A great idea,
too. At the same time, he told me, hey, I was hoping I can get this. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm going to make that for you. Not a problem. You
Beautiful.
Know?
That's great.
Not a problem. Yeah.
Another
yeah.
great idea is even come out of pocket and pay someone to come and just do your BTS video and photography.
I didn't end up doing it, but yes, I did consider that for yeah. somebody to come out and do an actual BTS video.
Yeah, it helps.
And I've done that before.
Because we're in the world of self-promotion. You know, reality is we have to kind of self-promote.
Yeah. yeah. How do you use social media?
Oh, don't even go there, bro. I'm the worst at it. Nothing like you.
So my mentality in social media is just remind people. I'm not a big fan of when people post whatever, a camera or whatever, and they say, if you need video services, call me.
Yeah, no.
I'm not a fan of that.
No, either.
Of that method or that technique. I'm not dogging on anybody that does that. Hey, mm-hmm. do whatever you think works for you. In my opinion, I think it's a given that if they see a camera, you're kind of sort of related into that world and they know how to contact you, yeah. right? I'm just more of a, let's keep reminding everybody that this is what you do.
It's funny you say that because in the last just 2 weeks, I've been posting a little bit more in stories and I just got two messages from friends of mine saying, wow, you have been so busy and you seem to do so many fun things.
That stays in their mind.
Yes. And they were saying, you're working with some really cool people. Mm-hmm. Whose house was that? How was it like working with this person? And the conversation is arising because yeah. I started posting more. Now I'm not that great with social, but I started posting more stories and I'm seeing a reaction from people and that could turn into potential work.
Yeah, absolutely. They'll remember that.
Be like, hey, look, I'm busy.
Yeah. One of the, now it's turning into one of my bigger clients that I've been working with for like the past 4 years, 4 or 5 years. I had them as a client before this person got, it's funny. I had them as a client before this person got on board with them. But, you know, this is somebody that I used to go to high school with. Mm. And she reached out to me about possibly doing videos for the agency. Wow. But she didn't know that I had already been doing videos for them, which is hilarious. Awesome. But assume that I wasn't.
Yeah.
Right? Assume that I wasn't. She would have still reached out to me to do that video because she just sees that I've been posting a lot about cameras and stuff. This is somebody from high school.
Wow.
Look, I'm 32 years old. High school was long time ago, 2007. So that is something that would have been a potential client. You know, it was already a client, but you get the idea, right?
But just showing yourself alive in this industry so people know that you're working, you know, that you do stuff.
I had
like
another
this.
Recent high school guy that came to visit me. He turned into a politician and started this foundation, and his foundation needed video. And he's been loving the stuff that I've been posting. He sees that it's high quality, top-notch stuff, and he wants to sort of, he needs video for his stuff. So we got into a meeting, we were able to work something out. We got another client there. You know, it's just reminding people that this is what you do.
So I'm realizing something in what you're saying, and I kind of feel bad about my life right now. I didn't go to high school. I was homeschooled. All of that warm market potential work now is killing me. I'm going to ask God to just redo my life and go to high school just for future clients.
No, man. But look, the people that you have currently, man.
Yeah, there's so many options.
I recommend people use hashtags.
Do you get a lot of response from that? I feel like I get a bunch of bots and bunch of stuff.
No, is that what the hashtags do is optimize the amount of eyes that see your post. So anybody that just searches the hashtag video production, your post will be in the mix.
Well, I have noticed that when I do something like that, I go to the hashtag and I just take a quick little stroll.
And you'll see your post right there.
But not only me, I'm talking about like anything else in that genre. So that's a good point of view too.
Yeah, it's definitely really good to do.
I just always seem to get a million, not a million, obviously, but I get a lot of likes from just these counts that just look bougie.
I had a buddy of mine that he did a lot of work, whatever. This is early in my career. And he did mostly like anime After Effects stuff. He had a passion to do narrative stuff and whatnot. He got a job with this company that does a lot of soccer broadcasting. And next thing I know, he's selling all his equipment, right? Mm. Now, I've sold my equipment too, but it was to upgrade.
Yeah.
And then when I asked him, hey, are you upgrading? Are you, you know, why are you selling your stuff? Like, he said he doesn't need it anymore. That's when I realized, oh man, this guy just threw in the towel.
Yeah.
He's happy with his full-time job. you know? And it's not the same thing being a freelancer and working in the industry for another company as a full-time person. There's a difference.
It's not the same.
Yeah. It's not the same. You really don't have that freedom.
Is his full-time also in the industry?
He does the graphic stuff for these soccer broadcasts.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It's in the industry, but it's not being a contractor freelancer.
He's definitely not as a contractor. He's an employee, right? I took that, in my opinion, I took that as him throwing in the towel as maybe freelancing world life is not for him.
Would you agree it's not for everyone?
It's not. I don't think so. Because here's the thing. You have to hustle. But see, my hustle was so enjoyable. Mm. And it still is. I'll still come in, stay as late as I need to. I'll come in Saturdays and Sundays to even these days. I come in Saturdays and Sundays. I'm editing. I love this stuff. And no one's going to outwork me in my own business, right? I don't care who I have there. I'm going to cater to my clients and continue to serve. If I have to go back to working how I used to, and what I mean by that is everything, the sets that you've been on my sets all the time, I would do the same exact thing if I was by myself, you know? Mm-hmm. I would set up all the lights. I would set up all the booms. I'd move the lights according. I would move the camera according. Obviously, sometimes there are some things that I just cannot do because of lack of time.
Wait till you have kids.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
You have to like...
No, I mean like on set. Like on set, like if I have to wake up at 5 a.m, get set up, go to a shoot, come back, prep and put everything back to charge again for the next day. And then I have those seasons just like that. Nothing has changed.
That's great.
The only thing that's changed is I charge a lot more now so that I can get more help to continue to work that way. Again, the hustle was so enjoyable for me. I loved it. And one thing I've always said, I would come home from a long day shooting. I don't care what production it was, whether I had a good time or a bad time. Man, I had the biggest smile on my face because I love what I do, you know? And then to top it all off, the freedom that you have, you know, the freedom that you get when working as a freelancer. Of course, listen, if you're married with kids and you're the only source of income, you have to consider that if you're trying to make a decision to take that dive. The responsibilities and your priorities. Because I wasn't able to... I started my business in 2013. I moved out of my house for the first time in 2018, right? It was 5 years. 5 years that I had to really hustle, right?
To build something.
And to build something where I felt that it was sustainable. And truth be told, maybe I could have moved out a year, maybe two before. But I wasn't, you know, I could have probably gone into like an efficiency or something, a small place. But I only moved out with a couple things in place. One, I just did not have any more space in my parents' house for my equipment. It's a good problem to have, right? Yeah. But two, I had one client on retainer. There's that safety net that we talked about earlier, right? Yeah. I had one client on retainer at, what was it? I think it was at the time, like $4,000 a month. Right.
Whoa, that's a big retainer.
Yeah. So I had one good client on retainer. So I moved out knowing, okay, I know that I'll have this money monthly. Within a year, they canceled that contract. I freaked out because to me, I had that safety net.
Wow.
That was my safety net. Can imagine. Right.
That's tough.
Then when I got to take, and again, I was having fun, bought everything I needed because I knew I had that safety net. I based all of my expenses on those $4,000 a month. I freaked out. Thank God I had my pastors there and everything and slash business mentors and stuff. I called them all. I'm like, hey, this just happened. What do I do? And they're like, relax. First of all, calm down. Then I took another look at my numbers. I make more on my own. So the only thing that changed is that I was really paying attention to my numbers because I really didn't, knowing that I had that coming in every single month. Yeah. But now it's like, now you really have to pay attention to your expenses, what you're spending and all that stuff. So, but again, keep pushing forward, knowing that, man, when you have that fire under your butt, you know, that you have to make ends meet, you got to do it.
Yeah.
You're going to make it work somehow, right? But then it helps that you have the passion for it. It helps that you love it. It helps that you have all that going for you, you know? But
it's, I liked what you said, the priorities and your responsibilities.
Yeah. Yeah, that's super important.
So I had a friend who was an independent filmmaker, and because of his responsibility to his family, he had to leave it. He had to, because he just wasn't bringing in what he needed.
Sorry, what family? Was it a wife and kids, or was it wife his parents?
Sorry.
Because some people try to help support their parents.
That's different, yeah.
Yeah, that's
that. So he had a responsibility to his wife and two kids.
Okay.
And it just, and, you know, it just wasn't.
It just wasn't
working out.
Right.
And so I had to get a job. I had to kind of give that up, you know.
Sure.
Maybe one day he'll come back to it. But he's still in the same industry, so he still gets some of that passion.
Doesn't mean it's impossible. Mm-hmm. It just means that for the time being, you need to have that full-time job, right?
Could be temporary.
The hustle is going to be harder because, yeah, you have a wife, you have kids that you have to spend time with, you have a full-time job, and you need to work your full-time, your part-time hustle on the side. Mm-hmm. How do you manage that?
I also think, to be honest, this is my personal opinion. I think that everyone with a full-time job or part-time job, that's your main source of income, should be looking for a side hustle to create some independency for yourself.
I've always tried to turn people in a direction to start your own business.
Yeah, me
too. Not even in video, but like...
Yeah, totally. Just something else.
It's been the most liberating thing for me. I've never had a job longer than a year, ever in my life.
Wow.
I'm not a fan of routine. So anytime I have to come to the same place and do the same thing, even when I worked at the creative agency, my last job, I was doing video work. I was working with the Red, but it became very routine, you know, and it wasn't mine.
Yeah.
It's so funny when I say I'm not a fan of routine, my fiance gets nervous.
She's thinking commitment issues.
So I was like, obviously it doesn't apply there, but
well.
So yeah, my interest in working at a certain place after X amount of months, I would say, because I haven't been at a job longer than a year, it just goes down and I'm just not interested in that anymore. And while I was at the agency, I was doing that on my side. It was my side hustle, until I outgrew the agency in terms of like what they can give me versus what I've gotten for myself. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So my 2020 season, where it was a complete shakeup for the whole world and every industry almost, I got the opportunity of being the right place, right time, of being the lead editor for Orange Theory Fitness. Now, with that whole movement of them with a premium membership and having to close down physical brick and mortar gyms, they had to figure out a solution. So we had to come up with, we'd rent a studio and we would shoot at home workouts. Mm. And then I would be in charge of editing it and then eventually develop a team. And then now it's moved past me. And for practically the entire year, that's what I did. Everything at one point, at the very beginning, because we were trying to play catch up, I was working 7 days a week from home editing, 7 days a week. I was killing myself. The money was fantastic, but I was killing myself. Eventually it was a 5 day a week thing for pretty much like 9 months. Great gig. Financially opened up all sorts of doors and everything. Got all sorts of new equipment, all those sorts of great things. But the monotony of the same thing every single day, there was a part of me that enjoyed the, I know I can get this done. I don't have to really think too hard about this. It just takes time. Mm-hmm. But man, right towards that last season, that last month, I was just dying to do something different. Because imagine 9 months of the same project over and over. For me, I just don't think I can do it, man, as a permanent full-time job, you know? Yeah.
No, it's rough. But then you have to consider what's on the line. Like if you have a wife and kids, that's different.
And that gig came at the absolute perfect time when things were so rough in the world.
Yeah.
I only got one call in those, I think, like 8 months since March, everything had happened, to shoot something. So it was God-given, or at least I was in the right place.
And I kind of want to mention something that I just thought about this. We've been saying wife and kids. If you're a woman that wants to get into the industry and you really want to be a freelancer, that's great. If the income for your family is not solely dependent on you, if your husband's providing whatever it is, great, go for it. I would always say that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's, I noticed we kept saying wife and
kids. Yeah, because we're just speaking to our situation.
We're talking about ourselves, but anyways, that's what I would say. So, I mean, look, when you're assessing your own self and as to whether or not you should continue on in this path, just know that there has to be some improvement. There has to be.
Yes.
If you're still at the same place, making the same money as you were before. And you know what? Some people are stagnant. Some people are happy with that.
Yeah, that's not an issue. I feel like if it's not, if it can't sustain you, I think that's where the issue. It has
to be able to sustain you. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's a hobby, you know, or a waste of time. You know,
grandpa speaking now. That's wisdom. Come on now, preach.
No, it has to, because you have to grow up and make a living and and support a family at some point, right? Mm-hmm. So, and it has to get better. There was a point where I started and I there's always been this cloud around me with certain people in my life that had concerns about my being able to provide for a wife and kids. Mm-hmm. When I started my business in 2013, that grew even bigger.
Yeah, wow.
Because at the time, I was a security officer. I was a security guard when I started my business. Mm. I would work overnight shifts. And in my security car, I'd be editing. Oh. You know what I mean? So
that's awesome.
It's crazy, but it's hard to, at the time, I was 24 years old. How can I give them confidence that it's something that I started? But listen, I got the blessing from my pastor. It's like, listen, I'm trusting. I don't know what's going to happen, right? So it's been such an amazing ride, to be able to. And, you know, I've had my own doubts. Mm-hmm. I've had my own doubts, but I see improvement every year. Every single year I've seen improvement, thank God. And, you know, I guess I'm dreading the year that I see a decline from one year to the next. I haven't seen that yet. Mm-hmm. You always want to improve. In my opinion, you should always want to improve. My biggest suggestion is to know your numbers. Mm. Know your numbers. Know what you made last year. I would even go quarterly. How much did you make the first quarter this year as opposed to the first quarter last year? Mm-hmm. And go by that, you know? Compare. You're in competition with yourself, not with other people. Don't compare yourself to other people.
That is huge. Huge.
Yeah, so...
I've been at fault for that, especially in the first portion, just comparing it to everyone. It's like, well, I don't have this.
Stop comparing yourself. Yep. As long as you're going forward and not backward, that's the only thing you need, because it's not going to be overnight. It really isn't. It's going to take time. And you're not going to see it maybe in 2 years or 3 years or 4 years. Mm-hmm. You should definitely start seeing it.
Year five.
Five, six, seven, eight. And that's not set in stone. You could very well see it in 2 to 3 years. If you're a savant in this stuff and you learn it significantly faster, if you know all the avenues, it does take time to build relationships and build clientele. Like I said, I still have a client that's from year one, right? So
incredible.
Again, that's how you would do a self-assessment, in my opinion. So
that's great, man.
Anyways, this was a phenomenal episode. Great, I think we got to share a lot, more than what I expected.
I want to listen to it again. It was good.
Well, thank you guys for watching this episode. My name is Ariel Martinez. Mike Hernandez, Big Harry Magic Mike. Handles, connections are down below on the show notes for this episode. You can also follow the podcast on Instagram at iFilmmakerPodcast or on our website at iFilmmakerPodcast.com. You can check out all our episodes there. If you're liking it, stop by, drop us a comment, let us know how we're doing, and we thank you guys for tuning in. Until next time, we'll see you on the next episode.